Ready.
Give it to.
Good evening, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks.
This is our regular meeting of the City Council, and today is Tuesday, October 4th, and it's about 4:33. Roll call, please.
Mayor Reed.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez, June.
Here.
Councilmember Ravenholt.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the invocation by Dr. Paul Jones. Would you lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance, too? Is my mic on? Can everybody hear me?
Will you please bow your heart with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in prayer tonight with heartfelt gratitude. You have allowed each of us to live in safety in this area, and especially in Pismo Beach, the gem of the Central Coast. And yet we are not forgetful of our fellow Americans whose lives have been uprooted by the devastation of Hurricane Katrina and Rita to the beautiful communities on the Gulf Coast. Our prayers undergird all those families who have been deeply touched by these catastrophic storms. Let them not get lost in the wilderness of discouragement and despair, for you alone can heal the wounded and bruised soul of our nation and its families. And as we face these troubled times, we look to you, our Lord. You alone have absolute dominion. You alone have supreme authority. You alone have unlimited power. And we look to you for comfort and for strength. We pray that you will bring order out of chaos, and may the thousands of displaced citizens and their devastated communities experience the manifest presence of God that brings restoration. Cause them to rise from victim to victor with dignity and with divine favor. We take comfort tonight that no one can ever be stranded beyond God's care. The creator of wind and water is the source of an even greater power. You possess a love that can redeem the worst tragedy. So we once again declare our nation's motto, "In God we trust." We give thanks for the recent elections in Afghanistan, for here 12,500,000 voters accepted the opportunity to freely elect the officials that will lead this new democracy in the Middle East. Tonight we pray for our leaders. We pray for our president and his cabinet and the Congress. We pray for our governor and the Board of Supervisors and all who have been entrusted with civil authority. Especially tonight, we pray for our mayor and her colleagues on our city council. These are our friends. We have freely elected them to govern our city. As such, we have accepted the responsibility to pray for them by name each day. We invoke your wisdom and your understanding that under your guidance, they may make decisions that will cause our city to be a better place to live and to enjoy life. We ask your blessing upon each of our citizens and the guests who visit our beautiful city. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen.
Opportunities to strengthen civic pride and recognize the citizen contributions. An enhancement of quality of life. Financial support as tourists account for $1 out of every $4 spent in the tourism industry on arts and culture.
Whereas Shannon Lynn, Pismo Beach artist and resident, founded and operates Art in the Park at Dinosaur Cave Park. Shannon's efforts resulted in a venue for city residents and visitors to experience local artistic showings consistent with ongoing California efforts to recognize the value of art.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Pismo Beach City Council recognizes and declares October 7, 2005 as Pismo Beach, California Art Day.
Be it further resolved that the Council recognizes and appreciates Shannon Lynn and her work on Art in the Park as it continues to enhance the Pismo Beach experience for both residents and visitors. The City Council extends a grateful thank you to you, Shannon, for your ongoing efforts to bring opportunities to share local art for the public's enjoyment. Dated this 20th day of September 2005, Mary Ann Reese, Mayor.
She
Shannon, we have technical difficulties. One moment, please.
So can I make a comment?
Yes, you can. Here it is. I have it. It's my fault. But go ahead.
Okay, I'll make a comment. When I was on the Parks Commission, Shannon had already come to the city with this idea of art in the park to do it at Dinosaur Caves, and it took a lot of persistence on her part to finally make it happen. And we are so grateful that she never gave up, and we're so happy with the success because it has grown into just a terrific event. So thank you for hanging in there and not giving up.
Shannon, would you meet me here? Believe me, I hear about Art in the Park all over, at my business, at different towns, and everyone just enjoys it thoroughly. So thank you. Thank you so very much for doing this for us, and I hope you'll continue to do it. Would you like to say a few words?
Please do. Thank you very much. It's a real honor to be recognized on behalf of Art in the Park. And I have a few things I want to say, so I hope you don't mind I read it. I feel very honored once again to be recognized on behalf of Art in the Park at Dinosaur Caves. I would like to thank you for your support in this event, and I also feel very proud to be working with such talented artists of our community and being able to offer them a venue for them to sell and market their work. This event has grown tremendously over the last 2 years, and the reputation has spread amongst not only our local community but throughout California. I would like you to know that I'm completely committed to this dream that has now come true and exceeded my expectations of support by our community. My plans are to continue to promote this event so that both Pismo and Shell Beach not only has another tourist attraction, but is respected as an artistic and creative community. I have seen shows, I have seen both Santa Barbara, Carmel, Laguna Beach, and many other cities within California grow into well-respected art destinations for both viewing and purchasing art. In these communities, their artisans are making a living and not just carrying on the legacy of a poor, starving artist. My plans are, with your support, is to help the artists in our community build the same reputation. Thank you again, and look forward to another season.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a proclamation commending two of our firefighters, and will the council read that proclamation?
A proclamation of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach honoring and commending firefighters Tyler James and Jason Pratt for dedicated and heroic service. Whereas at 1 a.m. on the morning of Monday, September 19, 2005, a 48-year-old woman fell into the ocean at the end of Pismo Pier and was swept out to sea. And whereas 8 firefighters immediately responded to rescue the woman in distress, who was reported to be hanging from the end of the pier, and
whereas firefighters Taylor James and Jason Pratt quickly donned wetsuits and rescue equipment, then made an entry into the ocean by performing a pier jump from the end of the pier, and whereas Tyler James swam an additional 50 yards to make initial contact with the unconscious woman, and while maintaining an open airway, was bravely assisted by Jason Pratt with a rescue paddleboard, and
whereas the firefighters persevered in their rescue under very difficult circumstances and paddled the unconscious woman back to shore within 7 minutes, and whereas although the woman is in critical condition at a Royal Grande hospital, firefighters Tyler James and Jason Pratt, with their tenacious and heroic efforts, gave this woman a second chance at life, and
whereas this incident typifies the kind of devoted, responsive fire.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Dan Turner, Fire Chief. Tyler and Jason exemplify the quality we have in our reserve firefighter program here in the city of Pismo Beach. They're outstanding people. They're outstanding servants to the public, and I think they're proud to do this, and we're really proud of them for the service they provide. Each of you want to say something here? Be happy to let you do that.
Good afternoon. I just want to say it's nice to know that all the reserve firefighters here are fully qualified, and it's nice to know that we can always depend upon each other. And I just want to thank all the captains for giving us the training necessary to complete something like this. Thank you.
And I as well like to thank the captains and engineers that train us. They're incredible to the program, and we couldn't do what we do without them. So thanks to them.
Thank you.
have one more presentation this evening. We have, is Michelle Royster here? Michelle, you want to meet me at the podium? Michelle has served on the Conference and Visitors Bureau and done a wonderful job. And she just recently decided to go back to Kentucky, to our chagrin. We're very sorry to see you leave, but we'd like to say thank you in a small way and present this to you. And this says, presented to Michelle Royster, Conference and Visitors Bureau 2005, with our sincere appreciation for your commitment to the city of Pismo Beach and its citizens, presented by the Pismo Beach City Council, October 4, 2005. And I wish you all the best, Michelle.
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. You've got a wonderful board, wonderful staff, and thank you for appointing me. And I will always have fond memories of Pismo. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment period. And now is the time for the public to make comment on anything not on the agenda. And you will have 3 minutes to do that. And I think I have a couple of speaker cards.
Ooh. I'm here first.
Okay, let's untwist the tongue. Oh,
hi, evening.
Tony.
Hi. How is everybody tonight?
Good. How are you?
Madam Mayor, members of council, Mr. Natoli, welcome back. I hope your wife's doing fine. A couple things. I'm breathing fresh air, which is always a good thing. A couple announcements I'd like to make. First of all, on the weekend of October 15th is Clam Festival weekend. I am the chair of the Taste of Pismo this year. Which I want to extend an invitation to everybody and anybody out there that would like to join us for an evening of entertainment, taste, and good food. It's $40 a ticket this year. You get six tastings plus the variety of local restaurants in the city of Pismo Beach. We'll also have dancing and entertainment, a lecture on winemaking and so forth. So it should be a very fun evening. Also, I've seen the work started on the Cypress Street Bridge. Thank you. After about 10 years of standing here trying to get that done and open, I've seen they're moving asphalt today. That's really, I think that's a big step, trying to eliminate some of the traffic and congestion in the downtown. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I have a speaker card from Marvin Self. You'll have to tell us what the acronyms mean. I knew that, but for the public.
Possibly to do the other field. We've spent our money we've had for the past, well, you can see the past 4 years on the renovations of the field. Everything has pretty much been done according to what we've had as far as our kitty goes. We usually end up with about $8,000 to start the next season with. We're hoping to be able to do a little more with the city this year as far as hitting the local businesses for sponsorship signs. But with the hurricanes, I don't know if anybody's going to have any extra money to do that this year or not. The BC Little League wish list, I'd like to start with the catch net over the top. It's simply the fact that I've been there 4 years. Foul balls go over the top all the time. We've been lucky. No one's been hit. but it is definitely a safety issue that we need to deal with. I would have dealt with it this offseason, but we had to fix the field. The Rooker Field renovation, we would simply like to know if we can get some extra money from the city so that we can go ahead and do the other field. We do the manpower ourselves. I've got the Teixeiras come out with tractors. I get 9-10 dads to come out there, and we just simply renovate the field and tear it apart and build it back up. We would also like, with the difference in the two fields, the one field is dusty. We need to get a sprinkler system hooked in. We do have sprinklers there. We just would like to tie into the city's system. And the reason being is if we can keep water on the field, we won't get as dusty. We've proven that with the new field. We've kept water on it fairly consistently. We just simply would like to be able to tap into their power unit. Right now we're using a battery timer, and after a little while the battery timer just dies. The rust from the corrosion from the water just kills it. We'd love to be able to tie into some electrical. I've talked to Rocky out there before in the past, and he's told us, well, we can't do that. He doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Well, I think that's not an excuse. I'm just not wanting to do it. If that's the case, we'll do it. We just need to tie into the power to their system. And the outfield. We have got gophers going everywhere out there. Somebody is going to turn an ankle, snap an ankle. It's going to happen. There's no two ways about it. I don't know if we can do anything to the outfield as far as renovating it, but I would at least like to get rid of the gophers. They've gotten so bad now that when you walk down the middle between the two diamonds, somebody's going to step in something goofy and just bust one. Now, my insurance only covers about $100,000 of liability insurance. I believe it's all it covers. I'm not positive on that. But I don't want to run the risk of having somebody come out here trying to sue us and sue you guys and sue the city because we didn't take care of this beforehand. And that's it. Any questions, comments, answers? No? Done. Thank you very much. You guys have a nice day.
Thank you. The next speaker card I have is Dina Taylor.
I am here just to make sure that everybody got their tickets to BIG's fundraiser this weekend, this Saturday, and I know you did, and I just wanted to let you guys know that we're really excited. We've worked really hard at fundraising and to continue to make this a life-saving community with our ADs, and we have done really well. There's already some real interesting stuff going on, and we have tons of stuff to give away. Amazing, more than last year. Very and with your ticket is a chance to win the 62-inch DHDL big screen TV with sound surround. And that was donated by Select Security. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be there at the show. And we would like to ask any of you if you would like to talk. We would be very appreciative if any of you would like to. You can see Maggie. The show starts at 6. And finishes at 11, and we have lots to do all night and lots of stuff to give away. Silent auctions, that's the most amazing stuff that's been donated by the city. Penny V, who's a local business owner, is our fashion show person. She's putting on the fashion show. And, of course, our famous Maggie, who's wonderful to run the show, and Michael Pastorelli, who is our MC. It's going to be a fabulous show. Maggie has got it just down. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, so one more time. It's a fundraiser for?
BIG, Business Improvement Group of Pismo Beach.
Uh-huh.
I sit on the board. I'm the secretary. Maggie Wright is the president.
And how much are the tickets?
$15 for the ticket, and that's the ticket that is the raffle ticket for the big screen television.
Okay, and where can one purchase one?
I have them for sale. We'll have them ready at the door, and then you can see Maggie at Maggie's place and purchase them there. And there's a lot of people. Susan Brazil has them. We all pretty much have them in our pockets ready to sell.
Okay.
And it's going to be an amazing night. I hope you all can come.
Okay. Well, we'll be at the league meeting. We get in kind of late, but maybe we'll try to get there after.
I hope so. Okay. We would love for you guys, somebody to speak for it. It's going to be one of you guys to, you know, speak for the city council. We really appreciate everything you guys do.
And did you announce it's at the Vets Hall, correct?
Yes, at the Veterans Memorial Hall right here on Bellow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
And we hope that all the members of council will be there to ride on the antique fire truck and lead off our parade. We're pleased to announce that Sherry Lang with the Pismo Beach Police Department is our Grand Marshal this year.
And part of the Taste of Pismo this year, a portion of those proceeds will benefit the Police Officers Association and assist them in putting on their Thanksgiving dinner that they do at the Vets Hall here. So we're really excited to be giving back to the community through some of our events this year. The Firefighters Association will also benefit from the parade, as we are requesting toy donations for admission into the parade for the Rick Vreeland toy drive that the Firefighters Association does each year. So those are a couple of the ways that we're really giving things back to the community and keeping things here local. The festival goes 9 to 5 both days. There's entertainment on the stage, and the clam dig for the kids ages 12 and under is free on Sunday afternoon on the south side of the pier. And there will be 100 clams that we'll bury. Each one wins a prize, and the clam number 100 wins a $100 cash prize. So, and then, of course, too, the famous clam chowder cook-off will be Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. under the big tent on the Benson parking lot. The cost to taste is $3, which is what the cost has been for several years. There will be 10 restaurants there to sample, and everyone gets to vote on the People's Choice Award, so for the best chowder that's there. So we hope you all come on down October 15th and 16th from 9 to 5.
Okay, and just to pass on to you, I had a client call from Simi, who said she was here for the 4th of July fireworks and said they were so tremendous. So I thought I'd pass it on to you.
Wonderful. That's great. And sorry, if I could mention one more thing, too. We are so thankful to the council this year as a chamber with the assistance that council has given us in helping us put on these events for Pismo Beach. And with the additional dollars that you have contributed to us this year, we've been able to put a tremendous amount of marketing and advertising behind the festival this year to promote the fact that there is no admission, and we'd really like people to come back down to the festival this year and enjoy it. So right now you can see a television commercial we have going on KCOY and KKFX. We'll have a radio schedule on a couple of the Clear Channel radio stations starting next week. You see our posters up all over town. There's also posters up in the valley in Tulare, Visalia, Fresno, Bakersfield, and newspaper advertising in the Tribune, the New Times, the Santa Maria Sun, the Coast News, and I believe the TPR is doing some things for us as well. And so we're really putting our best effort out there to get people back down to the Clam Festival this year. We're pretty excited about it.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is City Council comments. Is there anyone on the council that has any comments?
Okay. Can I go first?
No, ladies first, please.
Thank you. Thank you. We had discussed, the council discussed, and I think we did it, it's come up multiple times at council meetings, requesting a stop sign at the intersection of Ocean View and Highway 1. And I got an email back from staff saying that Caltrans didn't think that the amount of traffic warranted it at this time, which is really frustrating for me because we somehow got permission to do that left-hand turn sign, and I have a feeling there's more cars at that intersection of Ocean View and Dolliver than turn left. So I would like to request staff if we could somehow go back to Caltrans and revisit that, because I see that as a hazard, and I just would like to see us be able to do something about that.
Hmm. Well, maybe the city manager wants to make a comment on that.
if council would like us to do that, we can go back to Caltrans and ask for what's called a warrant study. And then it has been a little while since they've done a warrant study for that intersection, and they do that, and they'll come back to us with the results of that study. So if council would like it, we can request that.
We'd like to do that.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea. Okay.
Thank
you. We could do that. Okay.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I have one more thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Pumpkins on the Pier, Saturday, October 29th. Really nice event. I hope the community can come out for that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bill?
Yeah, just a couple of things. You all know my displeasure with the PXP oil trucks that look like they're going to be coming into our community and really disrupting our traffic flow, and not to mention the degradation, of course, of our roads. I've done a lot of research, and many of you that have been in this area any length of time, creating a pipeline from PXP out in Price Canyon to Highway 101 where they could join. I don't think it's an unusual request in that PXP is looking to build a pipeline from their property to the base of the dam at Lake Lopez in order for them to discharge water out of their project. So it's something that they're attuned to, and it will certainly have a very long-lasting impact on the citizens of our community. So with that, if nobody minds, I'd like to have Kevin broach that.
Consensus? Should we have a consensus?
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that. In fact, I was talking to Mr. DiLorenzo out there at PXP earlier this week, and so I'll pursue that with him and get back to you with an official answer.
Good. Thank you very much. That's appreciated. The next thing that I'd like to do is, again, remind the public that your city council, the five of us here, will be leaving tomorrow for San Francisco, and we are going to be joining in the League of California Cities Conference. This is an annual event. It's very informative for members of the council because we get to interact with other cities of our size, maybe a little larger, maybe a little smaller, and actually look for some of the trends that can certainly help our community. I've mentioned that I've been very honored to be asked to be a presenter up there. I want to thank staff, Kevin Rice, George Eads, and others for helping me put together a PowerPoint presentation that I am going to be giving to the League of California Cities. Having said that, I believe that the residents of our community and other communities will gain much from viewing this presentation. The reason that I say that is council generally deals with policy, and we allow the city staff to make some of the tougher decisions when it comes to finance. I had a very lengthy meeting with Kevin Rice and with George Eads, and I believe that the city would be amazed at the amount of cost-saving measures that they have attained through their personal effort, not through the direction of council. I am absolutely applauding our staff for the work that they've done. Saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and you don't see them patting themselves on the back. And I don't believe that if I would have had this opportunity to give this presentation, we may not have even known. So what I'm asking for is that we have an ability. AGP Video is going to be in Monterey up until Thursday. And he said, Bill, he says, this is such an important presentation that you're going to be giving. He said, I would be willing to drive on up into San Francisco and film that for you for a distribution on your Channel 20 or the government Channel 21. What I would like to do is I'd like to ask council for an up to $1,000 commitment out of our, I guess it would be out of our contingency fund, council contingency fund, to have this done. I understand it's really going to cost about $500, but you never know what may or may not happen. The reason that I'm asking this for today is we will not have another council meeting prior to this event taking place, and I only learned about it a few days ago that it was available. So I would like to ask council for their support in giving me an up to $1,000 to have this program filmed.
No, I believe that the league does tape them, so we could get one from them.
No, they do not. In fact, I must tell you that I called the league and I called Paul Flint directly, and you know what he told me? He said, sure, Bill, we'll be happy to do it for you, and that'll be $7,000. I absolutely couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. So it's quite an expense doing it other than the way that we're doing it, or at least the way that I would like to see it done, because it is quite a presentation that staff has been able to put together.
Well, I wanted to make sure. I wish we'd had time to view the PowerPoint, because It sounds like it would have some value for the constituents.
I think any time that we can let the community know what the staff is doing to save money and to help them, I think is of value. And I think the only concern that we might bring is that it isn't a kind of a self-serving. It isn't an election year, so that's good. But
yeah, no,
that
not
it,
at
that
all.
Is it, clearly in the interest of educating the public in what the city is doing and can learn from it.
Clearly. And others do wonder what we do out of town.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I think the PowerPoint would be available, and you could always give it again, I think. I think rather than spending the $1,000,
I doubt very much if we'll be spending $1,000. It's something that I believe
I just,
that
I'm not comfortable with that. I really am.
And as I'm approaching Shell Beach, the view is absolutely breathtaking today. And so I was thinking as I was driving further that, you know, I'd really like to thank the Pismo Beach Planning Department and previous councils for adhering to the structural height limits, so that all travelers could enjoy the view I enjoyed today. Thank you all so much. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
The view from the Highway 101.
Oh,
I know.
Breathtaking. Every day, but especially today.
I had a couple of things, and I think I forgot one already, but the main one is that the city manager and the mayor pro tem attended a meeting on our behalf, represented us and presented a letter from me, but actually on behalf of the council. It was the California Marine Life Protection Act. It was the Blue Ribbon Task Force met on September 27th, and it was a long meeting, and I'm very thankful that you attended and stayed, and you presented my letter and spoke, and I heard good things, and I wanted to pass that on, and I'm very appreciative. I hope the end result will be that maybe we will end up with more production of clams someday in the future. So
thank
I wanted
you.
To thank you
so.
For that.
Thank you.
There seemed to be something else that I've lost my train of thought. So we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the consent agenda. Does anyone have anything that they want to pull?
No.
Okay. Then with that, I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G.
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinow.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli.
Yes.
Mayor Reese.
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
Long time coming, huh?
Okay, the next item on our agenda would be public hearings. We have none this evening, so we'll move on to business items. And item 6A, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is a long-awaited discussion of vacation rentals or transient occupancy vacation rentals in residential zones here in the city of Pismo Beach. As you remember, several months ago, the council asked us to put this on the agenda. This was part of the whole discussion of TOT. It came up as a sidebar, and so we're back here now with this opportunity to discuss what we want to do on vacation rentals in R1, R2 zones. And I'd like to ask Randy Bloom to go ahead and give the staff report on this. Randy.
Thank you. Tonight, the city manager mentioned, is a follow-up on the council's workshop on TOT. And tonight, basically, we've defined where in the zoning ordinance, in both the 98 zoning ordinance and the 83 zoning ordinance, where vacation rentals are excluded. And basically in the 98, it's in the single family and medium density and surface commercial areas. And in the 83 ordinance, it's in the single family, the medium density one and two and three family residential density, the mobile home designation, and the commercial manufacturing. Staff has provided an exhibit showing basically where they're permitted. And when we talk about vacation rentals, we talk about those rentals that are less than 30 days. Anything over 30 days is considered a long-term rental and as such is permitted in the residential zones. Should the council wish to change the ordinance, we would come back with a follow-up with a zoning text amendment and a management plan. And should the council wish to enforce the existing ordinance, and let me explain a minute on that, is right now we follow council policy that's been in place for several years, that we only respond to on complaint basis only. And so that if the council wishes to enforce at all the whole community all at one time, we would come back to council with a regular enforcement program and how we would approach that. That's kind of a brief overview. The council has some options, is to direct us to take a look at a management plan, or direct us to take a look at an enforcement plan, or take no action or review this at a later date, should the council wish to do that. I hope that kind of gives you a brief overview, and basically this was to present it as a discussion item for council and direct staff in the appropriate action to follow up. Thank you.
Okay. Does the council have any comments or anything initially, or questions? Otherwise, I'll
I'd rather wait for public comment.
Okay. Okay. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? I do have one speaker's card, and that's from Art Anthony.
Limiting the number of vacation rentals in any given area by determining distance. I'm not sure that's an appropriate way to do it. As I understand our rules now, R1 and R2 zones, vacation rentals are prohibited. If that is the case, I think we should stick to that. However, we all know, we can be candid about it, that there are many vacation rentals in R1 and R2 zones in our city right now. We have had no enforcement mechanism up to this time to prevent difficulties, if there are any. One of the things that the county considered and is considering now is making sure that all of the people who live in a neighborhood that has vacation rentals know who to contact, who the rentor is, who the landlord is of various properties, so they can get in touch with them if there's somebody holding a loud party all night long or throwing trash over the fence into their yard, things like that. That's one that is important if it's going on now. I don't know that it is. I really want to urge you all, our staff and council, to look at the work that the county staff and supervisors have done up to this point if you decide to go to a management plan or to enforcement. I think there's some lessons there that we can learn that will be valuable to us. It will save time and effort. No need to reinvent the wheel as it goes. In my opinion, I'll say again, I think our current regulations are good and should be enforced if necessary, or if you want to make a kinder word, code compliance is needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Day.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. I'd like to support Mr. Anthony's position. However, I think we need to formalize a program first, because right now I'm not sure how formal our program is. As a resident, I would hate to see open-ended use of vacation rentals in the community, especially in the residential community, in the downtown core and in some of the other appropriate sections where maybe you have hotel motels and that sort of thing, a multiple family, where you're used to higher densities and higher uses, perhaps, and I think it is appropriate. But in residential, I think it would take over and it would change the character of our neighborhoods and the character of our community. So personally, I would be against it in residential. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
Marion Mello, 675 Lemoore, Pismo Beach. We do have an ordinance on the book, and I know it hasn't been enforced, but I think if you visualize every R1 residential area in town has the potential to have your vacationers come. Many of them come at all hours of the night. If they are renting a home, say a three-bedroom home that is being used as a vacation rental, you have multiple units, people coming, several cars. You may have one, two, three, or more with their dune buggies, with their trailers, impacting residential streets. It can be, and it is, a problem. Now, every person that comes is not a problem. Many of them are quiet, respectful, and they are not a problem. But there are others who usually come in numbers, and they truly are a problem. And I live next to it, so I know what I'm speaking about. And as I say, most of the folks are fine, but there are a few that are not. If you're going to allow it, at least put some restrictions on it. I really think it's not appropriate to turn all of Pismo Beach into vacation rentals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, members of Council, Spinelli. A couple things I'd like to kind of touch base on. I kind of echo the thoughts of Ms. Mello and Don and Art. But I think, for one thing, you're not going to stop the people from really that are doing it illegally right now. It's going to be very difficult. I think what you should do is you should grandfather in the current vacation rentals in the R1 zones, and then and set up a guideline, set of rules that they have to abide by. Like those of us that do it as a business, you know, we let people know up front, the guests know up front, that if we have a disturbance, they're going to be asked to leave that night. We're not waiting till the next morning. But that's because that reflects our business. People, the individuals that are doing them, a lot of them don't live here in town. So, you know, they had a problem at their unit. You know, they're not coming back. So I think when staff is looking at this in whatever direction you recommend to them, that you want to bring back something to the table, I think that you need to set up some guidelines for the independent vacation rentals in the R1 zones. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'm going to bring this back to the council. Is there anyone that wants to start speaking? Okay.
I feel very... Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel very strongly about this. I happen to live in the village of Shell Beach, which I enjoy greatly. But I didn't always live there. I also lived downtown. And for about 6 years, my front yard was the pier parking lot when I had my business Beach Cycle Rentals down there. And vacation rentals are very appropriate in that core area. In fact, they're allowed in that core area. They are not allowed in R1. They are not allowed in R2. And I will do everything in my power to have it enforced somehow. In the village of Shell Beach, the parties, the cars, the motorhomes parked out on the streets, the ATVs, you know, in our prime time, so to speak, the residents of our community have rights too. And they do not need, or nor should they be, interrupted at home. And I've just seen some awful things go on out there in the community because of it. Now, there are several people that I have been made aware of that really can't afford their home, and that's in Shell Beach. And one in particular, I understand, moves out for 3 months during the summer and goes and lives with their relatives, and they rent it out to help them with their mortgage payment. I am certainly not... Officer, what's going on out there? I am certainly... What is going on out there?
Just let it go. Please continue. Yeah.
Oh, we're being picketed.
Yeah,
okay, all right. I certainly don't want to interfere with these types of people trying to make their mortgage payments, but I cannot differentiate. I honestly believe that we need to enforce the regulation as it stands. Many of you will note 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago now, I tried to have the council join me in hiring a code enforcement officer for many reasons, not just for this.
but I did not succeed. I'm very interested in hearing what Randy Bloom will come back with reference to enforcement. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Ravenel. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this moment? Okay. Sorry. Councilwoman Higginbotham.
Thank you. I agree with some of the statements about the vacation rentals changing the character and tenor of your neighborhood, because I happen to live on a street that I think is predominantly rentals of one sort or another, and it's not a lot of fun sometimes, and you don't get to know your neighbors, and there's an awful lot of cars up there. And I think the problem with allowing these rentals is it limits the available rentals for families or other people that would like to live in our neighborhoods, and that really concerns me. I think our rental market, we're hurt by that. I listened to Mr. Spinelli's idea of grandfathering, and actually Monterey has a grandfathering clause in their ordinance, but I think it would be pretty complicated. And how would they talk about verifying documentation if you have had one, but again, how do you prove that? Then all sorts of people could jump in there and say, well, I've been doing it and I'm grandfathered in. So I see that as a concern. And again, the enforcement. The whole idea of getting more TOT sounds great. There's an article in the paper about the merchants in Cambria and Cayucas liking the vacation rentals because they benefit from sales tax. But I think that we need to take a stand for the residents and try to maintain the character of our neighborhoods. And so I would like to see us stick with what we have and come up with a manner in which to enforce it. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Tully.
I'll just say,
visitors bureau to bring tourists in. Now we're saying, let's don't have them rent our homes or our vacation rentals. I think it's very tough. I think what Councilmember Minatoli said, a successful process, but then what is the cost for enforcement? How do we balance that? Will the TOT balance off what it would cost to have an enforcement officer? And, you know, is this all he's going to be doing, or he or she? So I wouldn't want to spend a lot of staff time, but I wouldn't mind knowing what it would cost for the enforcement process. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay. I think this really is a toughie. I have had one phone call, and it was anonymous, and it was a lady complaining, you know, that she has a business and she pays her business license and pays her fees, and she lives in Shell Beach and she lives near someone who's illegally operating a vacation rental. And so she was unhappy about it. She wasn't ready to give her name. So, and it is illegal to have vacation rentals in an R1 zone or an R2 zone. I think there are those that are existing comfortably. And so I have, you know, I think that, you know, in certain cases they can exist, coexist easily. And in certain cases they're not coexisting very well. So that's, I'm kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. And that's my problem.
That's where I'm at.
So the concern I have is that, you know, we're just talking about it informally at this point. And so if we're going to move forward one way or another, we want to hear from both sides of the public, I think. We're really going to have more of a public hearing. I don't want to waste staff's time if we're not going to head in a direction, certainly. And I had heard Tony Spinelli talk about maybe having a task force of some kind at one point, and maybe they could come up with some recommendation for us. And I had kind of hoped he might have something this evening. I'm somewhat in favor of grandfathering those that exist and not allowing any others. And I'm only saying that because I'm thinking those might peaceably exist right now. I'm not positive of that. You may have some in your neighborhood that you don't feel that way about, and so, and I don't know that because I don't have any in my neighborhood. So,
And then the staff report said on a complaint basis, too.
So they are trying to take care of it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. So I think we're kind of...
Well, Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion, if I may.
Okay, let's see where it goes.
And that would be to direct staff to develop an enforcement program for council review.
I second that.
To enforce... Clarify for me.
Well, what I want to do is I want to be able to set up an enforcement mechanism. You know, you say that you're trying to balance TOT and these things. We don't gain any or very little TOT from these vacation rentals because they're under the radar screen. There are credible individuals out there like Tony Spinelli and others that do run legitimate operations, but there are many that are vacation rentals in this community that are single owner, that have just put their place up on a website, and there's absolutely no control over what's going on. And I do not believe that the residents of this city, anywhere in this city, need to put up with that kind of an intrusion in their lifestyle. The primary reason being is if we didn't have zoning that accommodated vacation rentals, it would be one thing. But we do have that zoning to accommodate them. What we, and I certainly will not support, is any vacation rental activity in the R1 zones. It was put in there for a reason. We have an ordinance to that effect. I want to maintain that ordinance, and I want staff to come up with a way to enforce it.
So all of those that are existing, you want to go away?
Absolutely, I want them to go away. Absolutely, I want them to go away. I'll make a few enemies out there in the process, but you know, what's right is right. And
Madam Mayor and Council, if I could, I just want to make sure that I understand what we're talking about. We're talking about those folks who rent out their homes, condos, whatever, for 30 days or less. If you have a lease and you rent your condo, home, or whatever for 45 days, 60 days, 90 days, that's a legitimate rental.
Yes,
in an R1 or R2 zone, so right. Just and I'm really doing this for the audience, so everyone will know what we're talking about. It's for those that are 30 days or less, which we define in our ordinance as transient.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Pool at the Arroyo Grande High School. The CMR school district, of course, is responsible for doing that, for building the pool, and for that matter, the high school. We had been approached by a swim team, the president of the local swim team, that many Pismo Beach residents have their children on, and that there is a need for a bigger pool. So the cities of Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach had agreed, each of the cities, to contribute some extra money if Lucia Mar needed this to build a bigger pool so that the swim team and our children would be able, swim team and also seniors would be able to exercise in the pool. Just last week, we were told that Lucia Mar does not any longer need nor desire that money. They are going to build an expanded new pool with their own capital funds. So the resolution before you really is just one to unencumber that $25,000 that has been set aside, and my recommendation would be to use it for road slurries and overlays, because if you think back just 2 weeks ago here, we were talking about the tremendous rise in costs for road slurries and overlays, and I think we all know that our roads need some work. So my recommendation would be to move that $25,000 into the road slurries and overlays account.
Okay, is there any comment or questions from the council before I go to the public? I have none. Okay, is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Did you have a question?
Finished with 6A?
Yes, we are. Sorry that you missed it. You just missed it. If you'd like, you could give us something in writing. Why don't you send us something in writing? But we did vote to go ahead and enforce it. Enforce our present ordinances.
I just picked up some of you addressing it on television, and I missed the first part. You voted to...
To enforce our ordinances.
Randy and I would be happy to meet with the lady.
Would you like to meet with staff later on?
In other words, to retain the R1?
Would you like to speak to one of our staff members for a moment? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this item? 6B. Okay, seeing none, I will come back to the council. What is your wishes?
Well, Madam Mayor, I think that's appropriate. I think that Kevin Wright is making the right recommendation, and I'll be happy to support any motion that's made.
I will as well.
Okay, well, I was absolutely amazed that they would give us back money.
Oh, yes.
And I emailed Kevin. Does that ever happen?
No, it doesn't.
What were they thinking?
They're to be commended.
If you've if you've ever seen that school, there was a lot of things. Anyway, I agree. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I agree with the whole idea of the streets, absolutely. But I just want to throw this out there. $25,000, the council, I believe, unanimously agreed to put it towards the pool. Could we do a little part of it towards something in recreation, like the ball fields or something else? I mean, does it have to go to streets? If we were willing to spend that towards something that benefits the community in a different way.
I think the streets benefit the community more than anything else right now. That's what everybody wants, and I think that we've got to comply with that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with both of you. and because I had a little twinge here, because I wondered if working on the wastewater treatment plant didn't have something to do with what was going on with the ball fields. But that wasn't causing some havoc. No, it isn't.
The present company that is building the sewer plant, had they agreed to renovate one of the diamonds?
Yes, ma'am. You're right. In fact, there used to be, of course, three ball fields there. The third one is completely torn up and is basically a storage area for Mingus contractor, who's building the wastewater treatment plant. But they are required under their contract to completely restore and build a brand new ball field on that lot. So,
great.
Before they leave, before we sign off, we'll have a brand new ball field on that one.
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Could I just interrupt for one more question on that, because it does pertain. Now, it's my understanding, and I haven't heard anything different, that we're on schedule and under budget.
You are correct, sir. We're on schedule and under budget.
What a wonderful thing, you know?
As of today.
Good dedicated staff, I think, has a lot to do with that. I'm wondering if we are under budget, if since they're going to be restoring that anyway, if there may not be an opportunity for some of that money maybe to go in there. And the reason that I say that is that I have been on that field in question with the Gophers. And it truly is. I mean, it is... It's tremendous.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I could take a look at that. And
okay.
Many cities now in the state of California have a code of ethics. Not a majority, but a number of them already do. More and more are moving to establish code of ethics. And I think this is a good thing. It sort of is a guideline, a chart for us on how we conduct our business. And it enables the citizens of the Pismo Beach, of the city of Pismo Beach, to continue to have a lot of trust in self-government. I think Council Member Natoli also has done a lot of research on that, and he might like to add something to this.
Yeah, I've been on the Ethics Committee with the League of California Cities for the last two and a half years. And, of course, our goal was to try to get all the cities interested in developing a code of ethics. They did not have one. And I've been very instrumental in getting the Channel Counties Division to come up with their code of ethics. And so far, out of the 25 cities, we've got 12 cities that have it. That includes ours, if we get this approved this evening. And... So I took it upon myself, while I was on the Ethics Committee, working with the Markula chapter of the Ethics group from Santa Clara University, and also the group responsible for the ethics down in Pepperdine University in Malibu. So I went ahead and prepared something, and I run it through them, and they all liked what they saw, and they gave me their blessing on this. So I presented it to the city with hopes that we can get that thing passed. In fact, I made that my priority for the next couple of years, if I'm still around, to try to get all the cities involved in preparing codes of ethics. That provides the constituency and the people of the cities a sort of a checks and balances on what they can expect from our elected officials, our commissions, our boards, our appointed boards. And also, this is going to be used with our people that we do business with. Any people that come in town and present a bid, we're going to give them the copies of these codes. And we expect them to work in the conjunction with these codes like we are going to be working with these codes. So I think that all around it provides a clean operation for the city, and the people voting for these elected officials and people doing business with our city are going to have to just follow the rules. So it's a great thing, and with the assembly up in Sacramento is going to pass a bill, Assembly Bill 1234, which is going to force all elected officials, appointed commissioners, appointed board members to have to go through an ethics course. Now, the League of California Cities does have such a course, and I think that this is going to be good because we've had a rash of different municipalities where 4 and 5 members of their councils and certain officials in their cities have been playing games with the monies that's coming into their cities. So they've been ousted, they've been arrested, they've been fined by the FPPC. And so I don't want that to happen in this city. So that's why we're trying to get this thing passed tonight.
Thank you. Is there anybody that has a comment or a question?
Well, my only comment would be that I know that Rudy has worked on this for a great length of time. I think that what he's put together is extraordinary, and I support it completely.
I would have to agree that reading this whole thing, Councilmember Natoli did a stellar job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have one card, a speaker card, so I will go to the public. Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'm a strong supporter of the importance of an open and fair government, and it's laudable of this council and Rudy's leadership here to consider the adoption of a code of ethics. It's not that you don't will work for the common good and not for private and personal interest. Well, vendors are out there working for their private good. They're not doing this solely for the public interest, and it refers through much of this as the public duties and stewards of the public interest. Not that we don't want ethical behavior in our vendors, it just doesn't seem that this is the vehicle for that. The other item is that number 7, under communications, you may have to consider a change in your public proceedings if you adopt number 7 as written, because it states, quote, members shall publicly share substantive information, and it goes on. Usually this is carried out in other government groups by announcing at the beginning of a particular item of interest of who they met with. I have met with the person who's applying. I have talked to expert so-and-so. I've received letters from so-and-so and email. that's what's generally this is interpreted. Do you intend, or how would you intend to carry out this requirement of publicly sharing substantive information you receive outside of the actual meeting where you take testimony? Oh, I don't get to read the preamble at all. Maybe one of you might want to do that, because it's a beautiful statement of what it is we do for accountable, fair, open meetings in government. Unless you'll let me read it beyond the 3 minutes.
You want it read? Is that what you want?
I would like to someone read it if you won't let me read it.
Well, I think Rudy could read it.
The preamble.
Well,
the bullets on that.
It's on the web, though.
You know, let's not take time for that.
Well, you seem to have a shorter meeting, so I didn't.
After this.
You're still in a lot of private clothes.
Thank you for your comments. I was just going to ask for the council's input about that for a second. Do you see a problem with that, of sharing the information that you met with someone? We usually do anyway.
Number seven?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the word that Rudy included here, to be a substantial amount of information. So if someone just talked to you about something, I think if it's something that's very substantial, we all talk about it publicly,
I mean,
or we tell the city manager.
If we meet with a developer beforehand or something, mm-hmm. I think we all share that, so I don't think mm-hmm. that's a problem.
No, I at least speak.
Did the city attorney have any comment about the vendors that was brought up?
I didn't specifically look at the entire policy with respect to the vendors. I was more interested in whether or not there were any conflicts between existing law and the Code of Ethics itself. I didn't see any that jumped out at me. With respect to the compliance with the law, I think, yes, the city has a right to expect that of vendors and should impose that. Okay. My question really with the vendors is, how are we going to, as a mechanism, get them to sign on to this? Is this something we're going to be including with all our contracts? Is this something that will become part of our bid packages for our public works contracts to ensure that they sign on to this or they adhere to this? Or is this something that is going to be more self-executing? This is a standard to which we will gauge vendors' performance in various circumstances. So that's really the question that I had about the vendors.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I want to make a comment. Not too long ago, we put out bids. We sent out for bids on a specific project, and we got three responses. Out of the three responses, we had only one vendor that came back with their plan for that bid, and they included a code of ethics that they work with. So out there are people out there that are already, they recognize the fact that they must work by some form of ethics, but this is just to let them know that we have a code in our city, and they can take a look at it if they want to, and we expect ethical procedures from them when they're working with us. So there's no, I have worked back in the old days when I was working with people, and I've worked with several vendors, and you'd be surprised at how many offers that you get when you're sending out work for bribes. That's out there, and we don't want that. And I've never done it, but I know it's out there. I have been told, hey, you're going to have a brand new car in your driveway on Christmas morning. I said, like hell yeah. So, you know, there are things out there that could happen. We don't want that to happen.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Abstain from participating in deliberations and decision making where conflicts may exist. Again, when you're so broad and so general in somebody's mind, the very fact that you sell real estate as for a living, or you own commercial property as a living for a living, one of our council people has commercial property in the downtown. Anytime parking is put in, one could say, in my mind, there's a conflict. So, again, I don't know the answer. It just struck me when I was reading it that it is so broad that perhaps we need to be a little more specific. If we can.
Well, I will defer to the city attorney on that. I think I would, personally, I would not read that quite so strictly, but I'll defer to the city attorney on that.
There's a couple issues here. I mean, this, again, goes back to what I was pointing out about the vendors. Are we going to be using this basically as an aspirational goal, or are we going to be actually using it as a hammer to enforce? I think the policy or the code of ethics itself says it's intended to be self-policing, that we're not going to be invalidating decisions based on a perceived violation of this. I think because it is intended to be an aspirational document rather than essentially the force of law, and I'll get to that in a second, I think each council member has an obligation to determine whether or not he or she believes there is a conflict of interest in making a decision. There may be situations where it doesn't constitute an actual conflict of interest under the Fair Political Practices Code, but it sure doesn't look really good in making a decision. For example, if my brother were to come in here and want to have a position with the city and I was asked to opine on it, I would feel uncomfortable doing so, even if there was no ethical prohibition on doing it, simply because I have familial responsibilities. With respect to the force of law, you're going to be having a resolution that adopts this if the council goes that route. So it does have the same level of legal standing as another resolution would. But again, this appears to me to be intended to be an aspirational document rather than something for which we would prosecute council members and board members for violating.
Do you agree, Rudy?
Yeah, I totally agree with what he's just said.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, Honorable Counsel, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. City Attorney touched on it, but I'd like to emphasize one thing. In your code there that you have in front of you, it mentions that we all are subject to the United States Constitution, the Constitution of the State of California, and FPPC rules. In the FPPC regulations, there is a precise and definitive set of languages about what is a conflict of interest. And I would commend Don Day to read that, because it does solve some of the concerns that he has. We should all know, all of us, those of you here, the staff, everybody who deals with the government should understand what that is, what a conflict really is. One of the three words I always try to remember are material financial effect. That is key to the definition of conflict of interest. Other thing I'd like to say on this subject, it's not exactly ethics from you to all of us, but from us to you. Something I've always tried to do, since I was one of you at one time in a different venue, when I deal with you, I always try to tell all five of you and the staff what's on my mind. If I give you a piece of paper, it's seven copies, one for the city clerk, one for the city manager, and five for you, and sometimes one for Randy or the public works director, whatever. This is, I think, a very good idea, so that nobody gets the idea that anybody out here in the public, like a vendor might, is trying to influence one or two or three of you and work you against each other and that sort of thing. Be equitable across the board in information to you and opinions to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I will bring this back to the council. I just have one thing that I noticed. It talks about the Pismo Beach Charter.
No, it's been changed.
It has. Okay. Do I have an old copy? Okay.
Yeah. Madam Mayor? The only thing that, and I think that Rudy will get a chuckle out of this, when he said that the legislators are about to put something together where we have to go through an ethics class. You know, it's very interesting what happened years ago when the Brown Act came into being. They subordinated all of us to the Brown Act, but not themselves. And there is little ethics in Sacramento. Very little ethics in Sacramento. So I think that it's quite interesting that they want to subordinate us, to the city councils in those in these positions. Other than that, though, I again appreciate Rudy's work, and I will support it in its entirety.
So,
all right, Rudy, why don't you? This is your baby. Why don't you make a motion?
Okay, let's see. I move a resolution adopting the Code of Ethics for City Council Boards and Commission Members.
I'll second that.
You better read it. Read the Code of Ethics, what it says.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we're at the end of our business items. The next item on the agenda is city manager items. Our city manager report.
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd just like to report to you that as we head off to the League of California Cities annual convention, the city is going to sponsor each of the cities in San Luis Obispo Council, in San Luis Obispo County, are sponsoring one high school student from each of their cities to go to the League's annual conference. The student that we will be sponsoring is a Justin Lul Jin, who is the son of Jerry and Marsha Lul Jin. He's a student at Arroyo Grande High School. Some of you may know the family. And he will be up there in San Francisco with us. And there is a minor expense that the city will incur for this, but it will be a great opportunity for him to see how government really works and to attend the League's annual convention. And at the end of all this, at our next council meeting, I'd like to invite Justin to come and give us a report here.
Good idea.
In front of council. And you'll get a chance to meet him up there. Secondly, a bit of bad news. We received notice today about noon that Central Coast Cab is going out of service. Actually, they're out of service. They went out of service today at 5 p.m. They are the taxi company that have provided subsidized taxi rides for our disabled and some of our seniors. So staff's working right now with the Regional Transit Authority and also with our cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande to see if we have any other options here. But Central Coast Cab is now out of service. Just wanted to announce that. Thank you.
It's too bad. Thank you. City Attorney's report.
Thank you, ma'am. I have nothing.
Okay. Council Subcommittee reports. Does anyone have anything?
Well, could we address that agenda, or do you want to do it after?
After. Yeah.
No.
Does anybody have anything? I just have one thing. The slow cog met with Santa Barbara's cog. It's a first. We've never done that before. And we discussed three items mainly. I think it was Route 166, Highway 1, and then the bridge in Santa Maria. And just kind of talked about those things in general and talked about whether it would be good to for counties to get together when they've got big projects such as the Woodlands. And review EIRs to see how that might affect them, their cities, and that kind of thing, and that we're going to try to do this more frequently. I think it was a good meeting. It was a good idea. So, and then I'm meeting, I have a SOCOG meeting tomorrow, and on that agenda is to talk about our, they're requesting some of our $735,000 to give back to them on the Price Street extension. And I'm just going to speak up and say that I think Dennis Delsite's suggestion that their $3 million is 17% of the total cost of the project, and that $132,000 would be 17% of our $735,000, and that, that, you know, we would be willing to give them that amount of money, and that we'd like to use the rest of it for road work in that area.
Madam Mayor, I disagree vehemently with that. Those are redevelopment funds?
No, they're not all redevelopment funds.
Well, of that $750,000, they're redevelopment funds. And those monies will go to a different purpose. And I'm not interested in putting any wedge in that door and opening up to give them any amount of money back. So I as a council person, and maybe we want direction from the other three council people, I am saying no, that we're not going to go in there with any offer.
Well, I'm not saying that I'm going to offer that. I'm saying that that's all I'd be willing to give up. Let's put it that way, if the pressure really came on. But there's there's kind of three choices on the agenda, I think. Yeah, did you want to offer something? Mr. City Manager?
Madam Mayor and Council, the $735,000 is a combination of redevelopment monies and development impact fees. The development impact fees is actually a total of $342,026.
Right.
Good.
Well, Madam Mayor?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, then all that I'm suggesting is that we don't go in there with any resolve tomorrow morning whatsoever, that they will say they will vote on A, B, or C, and then come back to us and we'll talk about any resistance or whatever. But I don't think it's appropriate to just go to that meeting predetermined that if they're tough on you, that you're going to give that amount of money back. You're stronger than that.
What I'm saying is that they will vote tomorrow.
Right.
And I won't have a choice.
Yeah, but I think, Madam Mayor, if we offer it, then of course they're going to take it. I mean,
no,
if they want to.
I'm not saying I'm going to offer it. That there are three or four choices on the agenda that will be voted on.
And then they'll write us a letter.
Once
they've made the decision, they will then write the City of Pismo Beach a letter and saying, we as SLOCOG have decided that you don't owe us anything. Or we as SLOCOG have decided you owe us $100,000. Then we will react to that. But not prior to, not during negotiations, absolutely not. Let's find out what they're going to do as a board first. And there shouldn't be any conciliatory. Is that a word?
Yeah. So you don't think I should be making any arguments at all at that meeting?
Oh, of course you should be making arguments for zero. Those are the arguments that you should be making. For zero.
The reason that we don't do that,
and then if they make that decision, they will send us a letter, they'll send Kevin a letter, and they'll say, you owe us this amount of money. And then we can look at it at that time and say, like, hell we do.
As if we have a choice at that point, right?
Oh, who holds that checkbook? So we certainly have a... We have a choice.
I ask the city attorney for a comment?
Well, Councilmember Rabinault, to a certain extent, we hold the checkbook as to whether or not we write a check. SLOCOG holds the checkbook as to whether or not they fund certain future projects. That's one of the issues that is before the board as to a method of payment. So there is some potential that someone else holds the checkbook on this issue.
What you're talking about then are future projects that might come out of that. And then it's punitive in nature, or at least I would take it as a punitive measure on their part, and then I would go forward looking for restitution.
I'm just pointing out that it's not entirely within our control as to whether or not that money gets sent to SLOCOG, whatever that dollar amount may be. They have talked about other ways to get that money in the event their board decides to recoup it. So it's not an either-or proposition. Either we write a check or it ends up in litigation. There are methods that they have discussed of simply withholding future funding for the city.
All right. Well, all that I'm asking is that we just don't make any decision this morning. We wait until we get a letter from them so we can all digest it and understand their reasoning. There's no reason to go there and give away the farm in the morning or even the North 40. We don't need to. Let's just let them do their job. Do you have to step down in that vote?
No.
Okay. So that's my recommendation to the rest of the council is that we just wait and see.
Okay. I didn't intend to give away the story. That was not my intention.
No, but you said that you were prepared to go there in the morning and offer them if it became too tough on you. You said that you would be willing to give them $130,000 or something.
My argument against giving them all of it would have been that's the lesser of the evil. Yes, I was going to argue for giving nothing because it is punitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should
just argue against it. That's all. And later we get a letter.
Well, I don't know so much what as we get a letter, but I just think an argument against it, and if they go ahead and vote for it, well, then you've done your part.
Well, exactly.
So, you know, I don't think offering them anything would be wise.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's the council consensus, I understand. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
God. I'm so glad it was informative.
You're number 7 on my
list. Yeah, it's... Whew, wow. Okay, we had an item we added to the agenda. And Bill, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just really looking for consensus or approval from the City Council to get this filming underway so that the public will have an opportunity to see, number one, what we do when we're away from town, because it's a very intense time, as we all know, but the public sometimes says, you know, well, there they go on another trip. These trips are quite demanding. And also, I believe that the educational value to the community of Pismo Beach and to other communities that might like to view this as well. It's a very important. I'm very, very proud of it.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. I don't really want to talk about this, but I feel I must. There are times when people who are potentially candidates for public office must be prohibited from using public money to promote themselves in any fashion at all. The city attorney will tell you that there's all kinds of rules about using, for example, the city newsletter to make it look like the mayor is a wonderful person of great intelligence by including the mayor's remarks in the newsletter. It's been ruled that that is not authorized. If you're using public money to film a person who's currently holding office doing anything, and it's going to be transmitted when that person is back here in our city, then there has to be a decision made whether or not that particular elected person is going to run for public office next year, in my view. If that person declares that he or she is not going to be a candidate for any public office in this venue during that time period, then certainly the filming and the display of the film later on our video channel would be appropriate, in my opinion. But if that person is potentially a candidate in next year's election, no city money should be spent in such an adventure, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Would it be 21? Would it be
21? Merrily Hyman, Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I would like to see the PowerPoint presentation if you have one all nice in a can. But it's a little ironic that you would spend a lot of money, up to $1,000, to show how we've saved money. Rather, show the PowerPoint presentation in the same spirit that you're trying to show what we've done, and go a less expensive way. And that would be maybe before, right before or right after one of our council meetings, so it will be part of what we already do when we broadcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
Chuck Rishoni, 20. Can I never remember my address?
A new address.
That's right, it's too new. Anyhow, I live here in Pismo Beach. I really have two things that I wanted to talk about. One, very quickly, I do have a couple of ideas as to arguments that you can give Slocock. Okay? So I would like
in.
To explain those to
You're sneaking that in, but I'll let you.
Yeah. But the other thing is I'm very concerned about starting this type of thing to city putting money into putting a project together of this caliber. I know that for the last couple of years, the mayor's state of the city's message was put together on format as has been discussed right now, and that didn't cost the city anything to be done. So I would be a little concerned about starting something like this, especially with the potential of it being used as a platform towards going into a political platform, I should say.
But Joe, if you want to talk to me about some arguments for tomorrow, can you just see me right after the meeting?
I'm babysitting right now. That's why I ran here. So if we can talk over the telephone.
Yes, okay. I'll call you.
Okay.
I'll call you. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll come back to the council.
Madam Mayor, I understand the public and their concerns. First off, my term does not expire until 2008. All four of your terms expire next year. Mine does not. I would not use it for a platform. For any of you that have known me for any length of time, I have a weekly television program that airs on Channel 2 and Channel 21 as we speak. This is nothing new to me. I am certainly not looking at it to have name recognition. There aren't many people in this county that don't know at least of me. They may not know me. So that is certainly not my goal. As far as spending the money to be able to do it, you know, this is an annual event. The League of California Cities is a very important part of our learning curve as a city council. This is a part of that that's extremely beneficial. The formats of these PowerPoints and listening to Marilee Hyman, the League of California Cities is much different than it is here. When we have a PowerPoint presentation, what it does is it gives in detail all of the specificities. I think that's a word too, isn't it? Opportunity. I wouldn't even bring it forward. But we did a good job as this city.
Okay, so what is the council's desire?
Madam Mayor and Council, if I could, though, before you make any motions or whatever, as a city manager, I would be, and I've already told this to Bill, I would be very reluctant to put, if you appropriate the money to film this, to put this on our city channel. And essentially for the same reasons that Art Anthony has brought up here. If Bill wants to use it for other venues or whatever, that's...
Well, then, no. You see, what's wrong with that, Kevin, is that why would the city residents of Pismo Beach, pay for it? It's for their education. It's what we do as a council when we go up north.
Okay. Well, I guess what I would say is if you're just presenting, as Ms. Hyman said, the PowerPoint, and you're trying to educate the residents on the information that's in the PowerPoint, that's one thing to me. But whether any of you, I've sort of held the line on this for 19 months, whether any of you produce any kind of televised thing and want my approval to put it on Channel 20, I've always said no. Because you're then using public monies, in this case, to help you that could be used and interpreted for campaigning. So I'm extremely reluctant to put it on our Channel 20, is all I'm saying.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Well, of course.
No, I know you do.
Well, of course. I mean, it would be different if I was up for election. I'm not up here until 2008.
Okay, well, we have to bring this to a conclusion. I want to know what the council's desire is. I disagree with it totally because I think that it's an expensive money that's inappropriate. I think you have the PowerPoint. It's usable. If we want to educate the community with that PowerPoint, we could use it at a council meeting, or
It's not in depth. You haven't even seen it. You're trying to make a determination on something you've never even seen. And I just told you
that you're going to present it with the PowerPoint. There is a person talking with the PowerPoint, right?
That's exactly right. And that's why it would be valuable to the public to see what other cities are doing and saying. I mean, it has a tremendous value.
I think it's inappropriate. That's my opinion.
That's fine.
No, I think that the FPPC rules and the Brown Act, the use of public funds that would promote any form of political activity is not allowed. I think that
Rudy, I'm not up for election.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that. That's the perception, and that's all it takes to raise eyebrows. And you certainly would have people writing to the FPPC want to know if that's legal. And I know that this is going to go on, Bill. I like your idea, but...
It's just because you're expending public funds.
You cannot use public funds.
I know you can, because it's done all the time. Public funds are used, and they pay the $7,000 to the League of California Cities to do it. You know, that is public funds that cities are using. This is not a unique...
Is there a consensus, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, I want to support Councilmember Ravenel, but
given the discussion here and the problems that are raised, I would like you to do it here. I would like you to present the PowerPoint here. It makes it really hard to vote on something that we haven't seen, too.
I don't know how it's doing this to you people. I don't know how it's doing it to you. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Do what you want.
What do you think?
Do what you want.
Well, I would love to support Councilmember Rabinault.
Well,
it's not going to do any good because you don't have, I mean, you can see that you don't have the support for it, so.
I don't know that yet.
And with what our constituency is saying and the advice from our city manager, I think we're treading on thin ice here doing that.
So did you show us something in the ethics code?
He was just looking at number 11. Members shall not use public resources unavailable to the public in general, such as city staff, time, equipment, supplies, facilities, for private gain or personal purposes.
I like your idea.
I do, too. I really like it.
That's
fine line.
Bill, I don't think that you're getting the support. I'm sorry about that.
Well, you don't need to be sorry. I'm a big boy.
Okay.
But I would just like to—I would just like to have it official. I'd like to make a motion that the city council appropriate up to $1,000 in order for me to bring this information back to the residents of the city of Pismo Beach and the city council.